Welcome to the latest Fawcast. We are at the Charterhouse Real Estate offices in Ankeny, right next to that badass massage parlor. And
two doors down.
Across from Village Inn. Hey, Mark.
Hey, you know what I was just thinking about? Rusty was the name. Because you were telling me a funny horse story before we started this. And yeah. I was thinking, it was reminding me of Kramer. And I was thinking
in my head,
he's his horse's name was Eddie. And I'm like, that doesn't sound right. No. And right as we start this, Rusty pops into my head. Rusty!
He's feeding the horse beef arena.
I know. And then Rusty starts cutting farts. It's great.
Didn't Kramer get like a Sam's Club membership and he's just buying everything in bulk?
Bulk. He's got a bulk can of beef arena.
He's trying to get rid of it before it goes bad. So...
Rusty.
In his beeferino.
And then he's driving around the parents of George Costanza's girlfriend, right?
They're like really rich and proper people.
Yeah, yeah. That's it. I can't breathe. Turn this thing around. Oh, I love that show.
I have a good Rusty story.
Yeah.
So me and an ex of mine were in the old market. We're going to the auditorium in Omaha.
Yep.
It's like Civic here. Yep. Civic Center here.
Yep.
And we're going to see Jerry Seinfeld. She was a huge Seinfeld fan as well.
And
that was really all we did together. We just hung out and watched Seinfeld. Like it was a great relationship there for a while until it wasn't. It exploded, yeah.
Got it.
And I'll never forget this because a few times in my life I've laughed harder. We were waiting in line have you ever been to the old market?
Yes.
So there's horse and carriage like everywhere.
It's cool area.
And this horse walked by, and this guy in line out of nowhere goes, "Rusty!" And everybody died because, you know, they're all Seinfeld fans.
Do you think people hate it on our show here when we talk about Seinfeld and they've never seen it? I mean, it's hard to imagine people haven't seen Seinfeld, but I don't know how many Seinfeld references we've had on this show over the years, but it's a lot.
We do have a pretty young audience, but I would still think most of the – because this show is a lot like an episode of Seinfeld.
Oh, for sure.
You never really know where it's going.
Speaking of Seinfeld, you posted a picture of Kramer that you found in your basement. What happened with the Kramer poster? Is it up on a wall or did you have to trash it?
I did not trash it. I threatened to leave my wife. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't really do that. So what had happened here, when I had my bachelor pad in Shenandoah – and then again in Urbandale before I was married.
Yeah.
My decor was just like stuff that I like.
Yeah.
I had the Kramer hanging up in my dining room because where else would it go? I have a Top Gun poster.
Yep.
I think a Days of Thunder poster.
Yeah.
Like just guy stuff, right?
Sure.
And these all, when we moved into our house, got put into the storage room, like back in the corner. I didn't even remember that I owned the Kramer.
So it was a pleasant surprise.
So what we're doing, though, I'm kind of redoing my basement.
Yep.
Like, I've talked about that, how I'm doing all the jerseys and all that stuff. Well, there is going to be a showbiz wall, and I'm going to put the Kramer next to the thing that you gave me, the blueprint of Jerry's apartment.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
did I give that to you framed or was it unframed?
It was framed.
It was a frame?
Yeah.
Man, I'm a good friend.
You're the man.
Jeez.
Yeah. Very much appreciate. It's been hanging in my it hangs in my home office.
Probably one of those frames over there.
Yeah, it's just like one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's really cool. So the Kramer's got a spot right next to it right now in my office, and then it will be in the man cave prominently. It's funny how much reaction that tweet got. Did you see that tweet?
Yeah, dude, I was surprised too.
That tweet got favorited over 500 times.
Really?
And like retweeted like damn near 100.
People are passionate about Kramer.
Prome texted me. He's like, oh, I'll buy that from you. Like it was crazy. And I'm like, you know, you guys could probably find one online.
Pretty easily.
Sean Roberts from KXNL, I think he was kidding. He's like, I'll give you $200 for that thing. I'm like, Sean, you could probably buy one for $20.
I think it's a poster, right? It's pretty popular.
I think I got it at allposters.com back in the day. It's not like this is a work of art.
Yeah, I'm sure you could do it. Maybe they just wanted your version. Maybe had you autographed it. Maybe that was up in the value.
We used to do these parties, and you would have loved them, man, where after a night of like drinking, we would all go over to Fail's house, and me and Hassel and Fail's would play the Seinfeld like scenic game.
Yeah.
And Zavalinsky would be like the game show host.
Yeah. Are you guys all aficionados, though?
Yes. Okay. Oh, yeah. Like, in Hassel and Fails and I still to this day, like, we'll text each other quizzes and we'll see who can.
Like, the obscure stuff.
Yeah. Oh, and it's hard. Like, yeah. You see who does the best. But Zavalinsky would, like, be doing, like, play-by-play of it. And everybody else would sit around and watch and, like, cheer. Like, it was a lot of fun. We had good times.
It's one of those shows that I've seen a bunch of episodes. When it comes to trivia, I don't know how good I would be on that specific show. Because there's a lot. I mean, a lot of guest stars, a lot of minutia.
I would say I'm in the, like, 95th percentile.
It's pretty good. Do you think you're Saved by the Bell? Would you be equally strong on something like that?
No, I'd be lower than that. I know my Saved by the Bell fairly well, but I would Seinfeld's by far the show I've seen the most. I mean, still to this day, if I'm washing dishes or whatever, I just pop on a Seinfeld. Now that it's on Hulu, it's really awesome.
Do you find yourself still watching it a lot?
Oh, all the time.
Going back.
I probably watch 2 or 3 episodes of Seinfeld a week.
Really?
Yeah, at least.
It's on several channels, though. Several stations. I can't even tell you which ones, but I see it on TV all the time.
It's my go-to show when I'm doing something else.
Yeah.
And I can put it on in the background.
It puts you in a good mood watching that show. There's never a sad episode of Seinfeld.
No.
Ever.
I think it's my favorite show of all time.
Even one of the – so there weren't many of these, but even when somebody dies on that show
– they make it funny.
It's still funny.
Yeah.
You know, Toxic Envelopes jumps to mind.
Who's the – when Jerry was sleeping with his, like, neighbor and her husband died?
That doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah.
That doesn't ring a bell.
It's one of the early episodes.
I liked the episode with, I think there was just one, but the one with Marissa Tomei in it. I always thought Marissa Tomei was hot, so I'm on record. If you're a Marissa Tomei fan, rent the movie before the devil knows you're dead.
You and Costanza have the same taste.
You'll thank me later for that one.
So what's going on with you? How are you doing with the uniforms? You happy with these?
You know, I am squarely indifferent on them. I realize. So, is there more positivity or more outrage? What have you seen out there?
I'd say positivity.
Okay, what are your thoughts? Let's zero in on one of them.
Okay,
the black uniform.
Now, before we make any generalizations here,
yeah.
Rarely are you going to see exactly what they put on those mannequins.
How will it change?
They're gonna like mix and match, so they could wear
white pants, black tops.
Yeah, like black helmet, white. You know, like, they're going to change it up.
Yeah.
Think Oregon, like how Oregon's just constantly changing things around.
Now, diving deep a little bit, do you know how and when they choose for a game? Is it like the captains choose? Or
no, I think that they have an equipment staff that's pretty good at mixing stuff. I mean, I'm sure that – I do know that Campbell cares about that stuff.
How you look is how you play.
Yeah, some coaches are like, oh, I don't – you know. Rhodes had that. He's, you know, Rhodes, like, just wanted it to be plain, and he cared. Like, he just cared in a very different way. Like,
yeah.
Paul just wanted it to be just
his way.
We have Iowa State uniforms. Yeah. That's it. But Matt, like, Pollard puts it well when describing Matt. He says he's an old school coach with new school techniques,
I like. I think he's good because of that. So the black ones. The whole
daddy likes them.
The whole position has nothing to do with Iowa State, blah 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 blah. To which I would argue, like, one that jumps to mind that I like, you start to think about these things and then teams jump in your head, like, who have I seen? Stanford has a black uniform. I know I've seen Stanford wearing it. They're
correct.
You know, they're as traditional as it gets, but they still wear a black uniform. So the whole there's no reason for them to go that route. That doesn't make any sense to me. And I think that's some of the argument. And especially it's because they look like the team out east, as they say.
I just don't care.
Someone's taking my picture.
That's the thing. I just don't care.
About any of it.
No, I don't care what the team out east thinks.
Yeah.
I don't care. Like, I know that they're chirping on social media. I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, that makes zero...
You don't care that they are saying we are copying them.
They copied the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
Literally, that's what they did.
Yeah, I know. It's a flawed argument.
Yeah, well, the dumb, like, so you own the color black?
Apparently, that's what.
So
they
was
think.
TCU copying the University of Iowa when they started to put black uniforms on?
Oh, yeah.
Florida State's school colors aren't black. Yeah. They wear black. Did Stanford copy Iowa when they put those black uniforms on for the first time? Like, it's just so dumb.
Let me ask you this question, though, and I don't have a problem with it. I'm just curious your thoughts and the thoughts of people that listen to this. What I do notice, take the helmet out of it for a second. The helmet's a big part of it, clearly. But could Iowa State itself be any smaller on those jerseys? I mean, it's tiny. It's right on their chest plate. It's. I mean, an inch by an inch, it looks like.
You
it's
know what,
small.
I kind of like it, though, because it's very put together.
Yeah.
It's not like a NASCAR shirt.
Too
Everybody
much
always
going
makes
on.
One of the NASCAR shirts, you know, because they got the decals and all that
Too
stuff.
Too much.
These uniforms are very put together.
Yeah.
Oh, listen, and I don't even like – I won't lie. I mean, I like them. When I saw them, I wasn't like, oh, my God, I love it. Like, I really – I wouldn't say I was underwhelmed. I was like, oh, okay, that's really cool. And my biggest thing was, man, because I know that they still have the chrome helmets too.
Yeah.
Like, they can mix and match, and I think it'll look really cool, like, putting the – like, the Cardinal Dome with the black jersey or – like, there's a lot of cool things.
I think the black uniform with the chrome helmet would look pretty sick.
Yeah.
So the big question people are asking is, well, it won't be this year because it's not a home game. But next time Iowa rolls into town,
wear the black.
Are we going to wear the black?
Absolutely. And totally wear the black.
F you, basically.
And kick their ass. Like, this whole deal, man, I don't get in the fray very often with the Cy-Hawk deal. I'm getting really annoyed with this uniform thing. Like, this is – like, the utter arrogance to think that you own the color black.
Yeah. Which isn't even like a school color. That's a universal
Well,
color.
Here's another thing that's pissing me off, Mark, is this thought that even our old ass co-host Gray like tweeted something like this. Nobody has once claimed that if you wear a different uniform, it will bring wins.
Yeah.
Nobody in their right mind thinks that.
I think what it brings possibly is some attention.
That is such a...
And that's
old fuddy-duddy approach to it's such a lazy. Oh yeah, we're gonna win 11 games now. We had prominent people at the University of Iowa texting into our show the other day.
Yeah.
Well, uniforms don't win games. Screw you.
Yeah.
You
know, we thought that they did.
Nobody thought that they rolled these uniforms out and that they're gonna go and win the freaking Rose Bowl this year. Okay. Like, it is so stupid, and they know that they're being smug, and I'm just tired of
You're
it.
Just mad that the Iowa City fans have caught on to Campbell's master plan.
Yeah, just which
was to get new uniforms, which equaled wins.
Yeah.
That's been the whole plan from the start, Chris, and you know it.
So go back and read, and I tweeted this the day that they unveiled the uniforms. I wrote a column in 2014. It's one of the most read things I've ever written.
Yeah.
And I remember everything about this day. Going up to Paul Rhodes in Dallas, and I said, Paul, you and I adamantly disagree on something, and I've been talking about Iowa State's boring uniforms for damn near for a decade now, okay? This has been my thing. It's been a simple deal where your geography sucks within your conference. You have no tradition at all. They don't. Iowa State doesn't have football tradition.
Yep.
Troy Davis is great, but that's not tradition. Our tradition is we like to drink in the parking lot.
We like to talk about a peach bowl from the 70s.
We're trying to build a tradition, okay? So you might as well use every alternative way to enhance your recruiting that you possibly can.
Yep.
And if you think this can help a little bit, then do something
like that.
That's been my whole piece.
Do it.
And I told Paul what I thought, and then I said, now I want to give you an opportunity to... So it's not just completely one-sided, me blowing you up. And he goes in the quote, and I respect the hell out of Paul for just being as honest as he was. He was dead wrong, and I think this proves that he was wrong.
Yeah.
But he goes, you know, it probably hurts us. It probably hurts me, but I don't like – I'm paraphrasing, obviously.
Yeah.
But I don't like turning on a TV – and not knowing who's playing and all this stuff. And it's just a classic Paul Rhodes way of thinking. And again, he is an old-school coach.
Stodgy.
He never claimed to be anything else.
Yep.
He was true to himself, and I respect that about human beings.
Yep.
But he was wrong in the sense of the recruiting thing. And that's And no, like most recruits are not going to be like, well, you have black uniforms now, I'm going to go to you. However, I've been talking to people inside of the program. The players love this. The recruits are – you're batting 1,000 right now. They think it's amazing. And little things all
well, what
add
are,
up.
What are
the
odds a typical recruit is 17 or 18 years old if they're not a JUCO? What are the odds that a kid that age is thinking, you know what I really like? I like the historical look that never changes. They're not saying that.
No.
At all. They want the hippest, newest, coolest thing.
Absolutely.
And if that's a uniform, then give them the uniform.
Unfortunately, we live in a world full of two things, where one, people are pretty shallow. You know, people in general, you can look at what somebody's wearing, and this is often unfortunate. People will look at what somebody's wearing and judge them and their socioeconomic status by that, which is wrong. You walk through the streets of Clarendon, where I'm from, and most of the rich dudes are wearing coveralls and you don't even know it.
Yeah.
Like that, so it's the wrong way to look at things. Unfortunately, it's reality.
Yeah.
And number two, we live in an ADD society. Like people, like you can't just people don't just chill anymore.
They don't want
to
wait.
That's why I've been telling people go to a freaking Barnstormers game. Like if you think that baseball is too slow, go and hang out at one of those. Like it's just nonstop, just dudes getting hit, and like it's crazy.
I'm gonna pick on the Barnstormers here for a second, but before I do that,
you see my point.
Yeah, so something you just said reminded me. ADD, everybody wants something. No one's willing to wait for anything. I saw a couple Facebook posts today, and this will tie into something I want to talk about here in a little bit. But there's like a huge line at Build-A-Bear at the mall today. I've seen several posts on this now.
What is Build-A-Bear?
Build-A-Bear is where you go and you pick out like a teddy bear that looks like wearing a Cubs uniform or whatever. And then you go down this line, basically, and then they fill it with stuffing. And then you can pick out a heart and put the heart inside it. So they build a bear specific for you. This is in Jordan Creek Mall.
Why is it full today?
Today, it's pay your age day. So these bears are normally $25, $30 to do it. Today's pay your age. So if the kid's five, the bear's $5. But this line is like hours long, you know, to save $20 or something.
That drives me nuts.
So
how much money could you be making during those hours?
Well, so it's crazy. And so let me segue into this other thing. That the Fockers are going to help with. So this is for you guys out there. It's harder than you think to give away money. On one hand, a lot of people will do crazy things like wait in line for 8 hours to save $40 off a pair of pants, but they won't do something that's incredibly easy to do that takes no time. So there's no rhyme or reason to this. So segueing into what I'm trying to do and where the Fockers can help, 2 days ago I posted a request on Facebook and also on LinkedIn, and several people have shared it, where we, Charterhouse, is trying to give back a little bit. So we're going to be entering the season of back to school. I don't know if you remember this, if you have fond memories of this, but I did. Like the back to school time where you get to go to the store and usually Target or Kmart when I was growing up, but you get to pick out a new backpack. Your new we used Trapper Keepers at the time.
Oh,
remember those?
I used to have one that was like a basketball.
Okay.
Like it was literally like it had the bumps and everything.
So
that
do
was
you,
my
do you look back on it fondly, thinking like that was fun?
Yeah.
Like the excitement of a new school year?
Well, I hated school, but yeah.
Okay.
But you got a few new things.
Yeah, yeah. So we posted this post the other day where I said I want to give away 10, I called them scholarships. They're not, but 10 scholarships of $100 each. And the point of this was to give families that need some help $100 that they can use for back to school stuff. The reality is they can probably use it for anything, but the intent is that they go buy their kids, et cetera.
Reality,
so I boosted a post on Facebook, which means I paid some money to do that to get it in front of more people. Had a bunch of people share it, et cetera. So far, and what I asked was that they email us with the subject line school supplies and just tell us a little bit about themselves. And then we'll pick. You can't pick everybody if there's a winner, but we'll pick the ones that we like. So far, 2 days later, we've had three people respond, okay? There's no gimmick to this. You don't have to do anything other than send us an email so we know that you exist. And you have the potential to get $100. You would think that people would do it. why not? Let's send the email. It's a free $100. Let's do this. And yet, we only have three. So I don't know where the disconnect is, if they think there's a catch, if they think they got to buy a house. You don't have to do anything. It's just us giving away money is all that it is. So, Fockers, if it's you, fine. If it's somebody that you know, if you know a family.
Yeah,
that,
that's what it's all about right there.
That needs some help, that would appreciate $100 for back-to-school stuff, then have them send me an email at mark@charterhouseiowa.com. Or get a hold of me somehow. But I do want to actually give away all 10 of these. So apparently we're going to need some help getting there. So if you know somebody or it's you listening, email me, mark@charterhouseiowa.com, and let me help pay some bills for people. I
bet you'll get some action. We have a pretty young audience, but everybody knows somebody.
Yeah.
So reach out to somebody, help somebody.
They do. So now I want to get back to bitching about something.
Okay.
And it's not even a bitch because I don't fully get it. I'll admit that. It seemed to me like there's a lot of bandwagon jumpers on the Barnstormers, but what am I missing with the Barnstormers? Like, you seemed way into it. Ross seemed way into it.
Have you gone to a game?
All of that. No, but here's the...
It's so much fun.
Here's the beef. It seemed like, unless my information is incorrect, which it could be, that they won a championship. That's great, but it's only a six-team league.
Yeah, I mean...
League. So it doesn't seem like
there's still
big of a deal. Am I wrong?
You're kind of right and you're kind of wrong. You're wrong in the sense that, I mean, it's still the premier. It is the premier indoor football league in the country now.
So why only 16?
Well, because it's kind of going through transition. The arena football league that they used to play in is – just going to hell in a hand. They only have like three teams in that league or something like that.
Yeah.
So next year, this IFL is going to have more. Like, it's kind of building up to being like the one.
Yeah.
When the Barnstormers joined it, everybody was all down on it because nobody had ever heard of it. Well, it's actually a much better league than this other one. You're wrong in the sense that it's still a valuable championship, like, for the franchise, though.
Yeah.
Does it mean as much as if there were 20 teams? No, I don't think so. It's more, it's less prestigious because of that. But they're, you know, they still play all those games. They still, I don't think I can take that away from them.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fun. Like, that's the thing. Like, you gotta go before. Like, if you would have been there on Saturday, you would have had an absolute blast.
The place
was packed.
Other than that time, how's the typical attendance for a game like that?
It struggled. About 4,000 is what they say.
Yeah.
I don't think there's probably that many people on like a normal game. They would benefit a lot from playing in a smaller arena probably. Like, I think it's like your classic Iowa Wild versus Des Moines Buccaneers situation like the Wild's playing better hockey, I think. I mean, I don't know enough about hockey. Some puckhead is going to come at me with that probably. But the Buccaneers seems like a bigger deal to me because you go in there and it's crazy. Yeah. You know, you have all these diehard fans.
Atmosphere.
And I think if the Barnstormers could find a small arena to play in, it would probably enhance the atmosphere.
Yeah.
But Saturday night, man, at that bowl game was as much fun as I've had at a sporting event that's not a Minnesota Vikings playoff game maybe ever.
Yeah.
We had an absolute blast.
Is it the same length as regular football? Is it 15-minute quarters?
No, you're in and out and – I don't know how long the quarters are because I'm usually just yelling at the other team and making as much noise as possible.
Yeah.
But you're in and out in like two and a half hours.
Has Ross been a big fan for a while, or is he just rabid about this team?
Ross loves all those like minor league teams. He goes to all those games all the time.
Yeah.
He's the one who got me into this.
Yeah.
And I gotten to know the coach really well, Dixie, and he's a pretty good friend of mine now. And, you know, when you have a emotional tie to something, you're more into it. But I'm not kidding. Like, we had our RVTV party over at Murph's on Saturday, and then all of us from the party got Ubers and went over. So we had been, you know, lubing up for about 5 hours,
yep,
and then went straight to the Barnstormers game, and we had front row tickets, and it was like that. I'm serious. Like, I'm not overplaying. It was one of the most fun sporting events I've ever been to. It was crazy in there.
Aren't all sports events a little bit more fun when you're three sheets to the wind?
Yeah, but there's something about when, you know, we all wanted the Barnstormers to win, but if they lost, like, it wouldn't, I wouldn't have lost sleep.
And they pulled it out last minute, which was
and it's
fun.
The arena football has like a weird WWE type of feel to it, like from the intros to,
yeah,
dude, like you, Mark, we were sitting there like looking up names of the girlfriends of the players from the other team, and they're talking back to us.
You are close to the action.
It was awesome.
There's
like,
no question.
They had a, they had one of their defensive backs was, I thought he was coming over the rails at me and Sipker. Like it was great. We had so much fun.
So heckling is what you enjoy.
I love the hell out of it. And it's all in fun. Like, you know.
What did
like, we're not, like, talking about dead grandmas and stuff like that.
The guys that
draw the line at girlfriends.
The guys that play in that league are mostly what? Done with college, not good enough for the NFL, and trying to make it? Or just like playing football?
All of the above.
Okay.
I mean, there were guys on the field the other night. There was a former Hawk on the field, a former Kansas State player on the field, and then you have former Grandview players. Grant Rohatch is on the Barnstormers,
really?
Iowa State's old quarterback. Yep. He's clearly not trying to make the NFL. I think he just does it because he loves the game.
Gets paid a little bit of money and gets to play football.
Yeah, and they pay for their living expenses too.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. So like all the
they're not getting rich playing arena football.
No.
Yeah.
But I used to think like, why in the hell would you do that? But Dixie told us this week that they actually get their living. All their meals, all that's paid for,
nice.
Which I didn't know that. I thought they were just getting like a couple $100 a game or
it's
whatever.
It's similar to, even like you think, other than a signing bonus, you think AAA players make a lot of money because they're close to the majors, and they really don't.
No. You know, those guys don't have great lives.
No. I mean, they're trying to achieve a dream, I guess. So I didn't know if arena was similar. And everybody points to the Kurt Warner stuff. Say, well, look at him. But That's not,
insanely
not
rare.
Yeah.
That not, doesn't happen very often.
Not the norm at all.
It'll be interesting, too, how like the XFL and that football National Football Alliance League or whatever will impact.
When's that supposed to start? A couple years still or next year?
Next year.
Interesting.
After the Super Bowl. I don't know. That's a great question. I think 2019.
By the way, I'm going on Saturday. I don't think you've gone. Have you done the Hamilton thing?
No.
Yet? Would you if someone gave you tickets, or you have no interest?
If somebody gave me tickets, yes, I would go. I've been trying to get the lottery,
yeah,
and I keep striking out.
I think that there seems to be two general opinions on this show, and next week I can talk about it because I'm going to go see it Saturday afternoon. Oh my God, life changing, and meh, it was okay. You know, nobody that I know that's gone has said it was bad.
No.
Nobody had said waste of time, terrible. Nobody. But they're like, yeah, it was okay.
I really want to go to it. I like theater. I love – it's kind of a political thing.
Yeah.
I like rap, hip-hop music. But I'm not going to pay $300 to go. I'm just not.
Yeah, it's a pricey ticket.
That's the end of the day for me. It's like, man, there's so many more things I could do with that money.
Are you surprised that it came to Des Moines and been as successful as it has been
based
on price? Because we're pretty practical people around here.
No, because I think that there's so many people coming from around. Like, there's enough people who are bought into the marketing of this thing. And I'm sure it's really good. I don't want to sound like I'm crapping on it, because I'm sure it'd be amazing. But, I mean, I bet you're getting people from
all over the Midwest.
Minnesota. Who are making a weekend. I really, because it's so rare. Like, that's the thing. I'm on the app right now. It's in New York, Chicago, London, Washington, D.C., Cleveland, and Des Moines.
Des Moines.
That's literally the only places you can watch it.
Cleveland? How did they get the show? Whatever.
LeBron.
Not no mo.
Seriously, though, like, think about how limited that is.
Yeah.
So, if you live in Minneapolis and you're a huge Hamilton fan,
yep,
you could... I think it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think it's going to Omaha next year, so it's making the rounds. But yeah, Des Moines got a good theater scene. There's no question about it.
Yeah, we have a beautiful theater. It's a very artsy city.
Yeah,
we have people have money here. It's our economy's good.
As a journalist, do you get bothered when you see terrible, irrelevant headlines that indicate slow news day, or do you not care because you understand the business?
No, I don't like that, because then it.
Here was the one.
Then it makes us all look bad.
Here was the one yesterday. I'm paraphrasing the headline, but essentially what it was Magic Johnson waited in his car an hour before the LeBron meeting.
I read that story.
Like, what? So? Like, why is that a story?
Because he showed up early. Yeah.
Do you think that's a story?
No. I quit reading that after the second paragraph. I don't want to get too much. We talk a lot of media on this show, and I can get pretty in the weeds.
Yeah.
But I just get sick. Crap like that is why people don't like – is why we're the punchline of so many jokes.
Yeah.
We be in the media. I'm just like – I guess to put a long story short, I think that most people who are online – are smart enough now where they don't fall for clickbait. I don't even know if that's clickbait.
That wasn't even clickbait.
They were trying to tell a story, but no, it's not news. Like, it's just this whole content is king society we live in.
Yeah. But a headline's supposed to suck you in to read the article. That was like a headline where the headline told the story, but there was no story. Who gives a crap if he was 30 minutes early or an hour early? Or who cares?
I didn't read the whole thing. He was nervous and... He got there an hour early. He normally shows up 30 minutes early.
I mean, there was no story.
And he sat there on his phone and, like, returned some emails, right?
Yeah. There's no story at all. Many of us in life are running early to meetings and we kill a little bit of time. I mean.
The only story is that it was Magic Johnson.
Yeah. Oh. Oh, he must have wanted him bad. He waited for an hour before the meeting. It's stupid. Just stupid. You're doing a preseason poll today, right?
Well, the poll comes out today. I gave my poll yesterday.
Do you care to recap that? What were the highlights of it?
Give me a minute. Let me pull it up here. Okay?
You do it.
I've got, just so in case you're wondering, I have Iowa State fifth.
Okay. While you're pulling it up, I'm going to plug our friend up in Ames.
Yeah, perfect. That's perfect timing.
Nobody wants dead air around
Thank
here.
Thank you. I'm looking as fast as I can.
So, if you're looking to buy or sell a house up in the Ames area, Ames, Nevada, Boone, Gilbert, Story City, and all parts in between, wherever that is, Ryan Grove is your guy. Ryan Grove, Hunziker, huge Cyclone fan.
Love Ryan Grove.
Probably not going to Vegas. He's still invited, but I haven't heard a firm answer on that one yet. Still like to see him there. Hope he goes, but he hasn't said yes. That's coming up the end of September, Ryan, just to remind you because you listen to this. But, yeah, if you need to buy or sell, Ryan's the guy, Hunziker. Google Ryan Grove Hunziker. I should know his email. I think it's Ryan at Hunziker, but that's probably not right.
You should start tagging him on the Fawcast feed.
I can probably do that. Today as well. So,
people can.
Good dude can help you up there. We know that you love me. There's no doubt about that, but that's just not my stomping grounds anymore. If you want a tour of Ames, if you want to see where I first made love to my wife, I can take you on that tour.
Where is that?
Well, unfortunately, it's changed a little bit. It's up by Ada Hayden.
Yeah, I've been to Ada Hayden.
Yeah, there was like a used to be like kind of a rock quarry up there before it became beautiful, like it is now. And we
you did it in
a
rock?
Car. No, we did it in our car. So
the first time you made love to your wife was in a car.
Well, we certainly didn't make love. That's not what happened at all. So I reject that phrase on its merits. I don't like it.
I have a lot of questions here.
The first time we consummated our relationship was at Ada Hayden. And yes, she'll be mad at me for saying this, but this is what we do here.
I'm just saying, though, like the first time isn't like, I think what you're.
Was it special? Is that what you're asking about?
The first time for most isn't what you're insinuating this was, is my point. So I think you're lying.
But why would I lie about this? Do you know me to lie about anything?
No, but I think you may be embellishing the truth a little bit.
What,
like, there's no way you're going to convince me it was like this crazy session at Ada Hayden.
Where'd crazy come from?
You're insinuating.
It was like 45
that
seconds.
You weren't. Never mind.
Yeah. There was nothing crazy about it.
But Ryan Grove, I mean, this guy.
Ryan Grove, by the way, has nothing to do with the first time my wife and I made love. But he is good at selling houses. So if you do want to, Ryan right now is going, God, why did I pay for this? This is ridiculous. Call Ryan is the point. Now let's get back to our regular scheduled programming.
I have my poll.
All right, do it.
Kansas 10th, Baylor 9th. It was
How much would you bet, by the way? How much would you – I'm going to give you let's see. Whatever, doesn't matter. How much would you be willing to stake that Kansas will finish dead last? I mean, is that like 99.99% probable?
Say 70.
70?
75.
You think they're going to improve that much, or Baylor's going to be terrible?
Like, they have like their whole team back.
Yeah, but their whole team sucked.
Yeah, but they were all really young too. So,
man,
there's a chance. They were kind of okay towards the end, but I'm just saying, like, I don't – there's a couple other teams here I don't know much about yet that could really suck.
So, Kansas last –
how do you know – like, Baylor was terrible in a lot of times last year.
Yeah, but at least they still get some athletes there.
I'd say it's 75% sure that Kansas will finish last.
All right. Then Baylor.
That's still pretty strong.
Yeah. Yeah. Then – okay, so Baylor's next.
Texas Tech 8th. I think the middle of the Big 12 is really
good. If that's true, is that Cliff's last season?
Probably, but I think that they could bump up too. They've got some potential, I think.
Okay.
I'm banking on them not, because I don't think Cliff's a very good coach.
Okay.
But they have some guys. They could be a team that bumps up this year.
Yeah.
I have Oklahoma State 7th. I think they're down this year. I think it's a rebuilding year for them.
Way down. Okay.
Kansas State 6th.
Okay.
But I think they're another team. I think that they have, like, some pretty good upside. It wouldn't surprise me at all if at the end of the year Kansas State is just, you know, those typical Kansas State teams that you watch them.
8-9 wins.
You don't think they're very good, but then they just keep winning.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have Iowa State 5th, TCU 4th, Texas 3rd, West Virginia 2nd, Oklahoma 1.
So, out of that, I'm most surprised by West Virginia solely because they lack the history of being at the top of the league. I mean, they've had good teams. They're somewhat exciting to watch. But when have they finished second recently at any point? West Virginia?
No, this is like their best team that they've had.
Okay.
And their quarterback is
He's
a legit Heisman contender. They're good. Like, they're better on defense, and they're better up front than they normally are.
What did he break? A finger on his non-throwing or throwing hand?
I think it was his – I remember watching it specifically. He was diving into the end zone.
Yeah.
It was disgusting. Yeah. I think it was his throwing hand.
Okay.
It was really gross.
That shouldn't affect him too much if it healed. But so, Oklahoma.
I just – like, this sounds terrible. I'm all about, like, sustainability right now. That's my thing with Iowa State football. Just get to 7-5 again. Like, and
beat K-State.
I hope that they do better, clearly. I hope they can get to 8 or 9.
Yep.
And I think it's possible that they can get 8 or 9.
Yeah.
Just get to 7-5. Like, if you can stay consistent, and then next year you try and take that step up, right? Keep building from within.
I agree with you that you want to see progress. And progress for me, certainly beating Iowa would feel fantastic.
Yeah, that's a big game.
Winning all the games you should win. Which are your pre-conference games plus your Kansas game?
Beat Iowa and Kansas State.
Kansas State would be huge.
Those are the two.
Not only beat Kansas State, beat the piss out of them.
Those are the two that if I could circle, I think are the big ones.
I think the K-State game is like a step on the throat game. I think it will prove to be.
Everybody keeps talking about Oklahoma, and it's just like, you know, like last year was one of the greatest upsets in modern day college football. I'm not as hung up on that game.
What are they doing, by the way,
at
quarterback?
I'd rather beat TCU on the road.
What are they doing with their ball player, their baseball player?
He's playing.
For sure.
Yeah.
Nothing's changed. He didn't
He's their starting quarterback.
And he's obviously a stud.
I said yesterday on the show that if I had $10 in Vegas, I'd probably put it on him at 35-1 to win the Heisman.
You might have addressed this before, if not, but I'm curious. So he got drafted, what, top 5 in baseball?
It was like top 15.
Really good.
Yeah.
A lot of money.
Maybe.
Is he able to sign the contract and take the money and still be
yes.
an amateur athlete?
I believe so.
How does that work?
Because I don't think he gets the money until he's done playing football. But the money is guaranteed to him.
Wow.
I think that's how that works.
I mean, as stupid as the NCAA is, that just seems like something they would say, no, you can't do that.
Well, I think there's a loophole around it that I don't know the specifics, Mark, but I do know that that is guaranteed money to him. Now, that doesn't mean that he's driving around Norman in a Ferrari.
Yeah.
For his sake, I hope that he can't get it. No.
Well, you might have the Ferrari because even if you didn't get a dime of it, you could find someone to lend you money against it.
True. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But no college kid in his right mind needs $5 million.
Yeah.
That's just begging for bad things.
Everybody, let's meet at SIPs.
Yeah, tabs on me.
Drinks on me. Every weekend of the year. Yeah, that would be a dumb idea. So, Oklahoma's your team. Doesn't surprise me.
I like Oklahoma this year. They're going to get a lot of flack because clearly the Heisman Trophy winner is not back. I think that they're loaded. I've been doing a lot of research this week leading into Dallas next week, and I think Lincoln Riley proved a lot to me last year, man. I mean, that, you know how hard that would be, replacing Bob Stoops like that, taking him to the playoff.
Seamless, yeah.
And everybody's like, oh, well, their defense isn't going to be there. Their defense wasn't good last year.
Yeah.
And it's like, what?
Dude,
define a good defense for me.
It's the Big 12. The defense doesn't matter as much in this league as in others.
I kind of reject that too, though, Mark, just in the sense that when Georgia, who supposedly had like a top five defense in the country last year, played Oklahoma, they couldn't stop them.
Yeah.
Oklahoma had like almost 600 yards against Georgia.
Yeah.
So do the defenses in the Big 12 really suck that much, or is it because of the style of offense that
I think your offensive style and good offense trumps good defense. I think it's hard to stop a good offense.
That's the way the game is designed now. Like all the rules favor the offense.
Yeah, there's no question. So I don't disagree with many of your picks. I think you have West Virginia high. Other than that, you know. And I would like to see. Is it crazy to think of Iowa State possibly winning 9 games if you include a bowl game? I don't think so. I mean, you got to have things go right.
They almost did that last year.
Yeah, so I think you could have a 9-win team. But, again, you've got to win the games that are winnable.
I just still don't think they're good enough up front on offense to do it. Now, on the other side, though, I think this is the best defensive line Iowa State's had in a long time.
Who is your, before a single snap has occurred, who is your defensive MVP for Iowa State this year? Who is the guy?
Ray Lima.
Lima again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think he'll be playing in the pros.
Are we going to be seeing my boy Matt Leo?
Like, a lot? He'll play some this year, yeah. I think he'll play quite a bit, yeah. They are effing loaded up front on defense. I've never seen anything like it here.
That's good.
I mean, and then like Bailey, Awazirike, Johnson, like they are loaded, dude. They go like 8 deep. It's crazy.
Yeah. Great running back. Good quarterback. I'm not going to use the word great. Good quarterback.
I said it yesterday.
Good wide receivers.
Yeah, I hope to hell I'm wrong because he's a great kid and it's an awesome story. I wouldn't be surprised if Zeb Nolan's starting.
You think?
At some point. But
not to begin the year.
Again, I hope I'm wrong because if Kyle comes out and is really like that, that's best for Iowa State.
I don't with our running back and with our wide receivers, I don't think he has to be spectacular.
No, you're right. So I'm hoping that he can
manage.
Yeah, and frankly, I don't know if it makes that big of a difference which one's out there because of the way the offense is. I don't necessarily know how important it is.
Yep.
I don't think that I'll put it this way. Kyle Kemp was huge in some really big games last year, made the throws, he was great, but the defense is why they were 8-5.
Yeah.
You know, like if you had to pick, it all comes together and it's all a team clearly. But I mean, they were winning some pretty low scoring. Like look at the Baylor game where Nolan had to come in, make a couple throws.
Yep.
Defense is going to take care of it. That was kind of after the, you know, the big win against Oklahoma, clearly they were, but like you think of like TCU, Baylor, this game's on the stretch. It was just ball control. Kansas State even. Like, man, didn't win the game, but you were in it, and it was a defensive deal, really, I thought. But
yeah,
it all comes together, and it's all relevant.
Yeah, I would just like to see us avoid letdown games. And there were a lot of reasons for this, but specifically the Texas game last year was a dud, huge dud. And that was the one out of all the games last year, that was the one that stuck out to me as that wasn't us, and we played terrible, and there was some drama going on.
You know, there's a – I think you're You're talking specifically about the offense.
Yeah, defense played great.
Yeah,
I would
challenge you, Mark, and you're right, because they had so much going on with Park, and we didn't know about all that at the time. But the defense, that was kind of the turning point game, because they went to that three-man front for the first time.
Yeah.
And it was just like, holy crap, who's this team?
Yeah.
And that's what is you're right. It's frustrating about that game, because the defense played so well. If you get a decent performance from the offense, you win.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think if Kyle Kemp starts that game instead of Jacob Park, Iowa State wins by 10 points.
Wins the game, yeah. Yeah.
So I'm getting categorized as a Kemp-tater. I'm not a Kemp-tater. I think he's a fantastic story. He's a great kid. I hope he has the best season in the history of Iowa State football. Pardon me for being a little gun-shy with quarterbacks at Iowa State. Is that wrong?
No, not at all. Not at all. By the way,
we don't exactly have great tradition with that.
I got to give an important update in case this goes all day long, but I'm on Facebook. The Des Moines Register was live at Jordan Creek, and they're showing this Build-A-Bear line all the way back to Yonkers, which is a long line. If you know where Yonkers is and you know where Build-A-Bear is, that's a long line, people.
How terrible would it be to be in line for 2 hours with a three-year-old?
I wouldn't do it. So I can't answer the question, Chris, because I would never do it.
We always get into that pickle with Santa.
Yeah, this.
But we'll never wait 2 hours. It's 40 minutes tops.
There's literally they're showing video of this line, the Des Moines Register. This is a long line to save $20.
And you can normally get it for 25.
Yeah, it's in that ballpark. That's what it is. It's not $50 for a bear. I've been there. We've bought these before.
I might go take Cameron on Saturday to get a $25 one just to spite these people.
I mean, this line is ridiculous, man. It goes and it goes and it goes. Oh,
all right.
Man.
Well, get a hold of Mark if you want $100 for your kid's school supplies.
Or if you have a friend.
Primarily, if they need it, people. Not to go.
Let me tell you this. If you listen to the podcast later today, and you were in this damn line for Build-A-Bear, you need the $100, all right? So reach out to me, and I'm going to help you, because this thing is ridiculous.
Have a great weekend, everybody. We may be a little later next week. I got some stuff going on with the wife.
Real stuff.
But we will. But we'll have a podcast for you next week, just not sure what day.
Adios.
Later.